The fifth parak continues talking about the daily routine in the Beis HaMikdash. Previously, we saw that there were four lotteries in the Beis HaMikdash that would allocate the various avodas of the day to the Kohanim. We went through two of the lotteries already. The first one was the Truma Sedeshin, and the second one was relating to the Korban Tamid. And now, as we said, with the Korban Tamid, the various Kohanim have put the limbs on the kevish, on the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. It wasn't only the limbs, it was also the Korban Mincha, the flour for the Korban Mincha, and the wine for the libation and the like. And now we are going to have a hiatus dealing with all of the avoda of the day, per se. And we're going to have a time to say Kriyat Shema and Tefillah by the Kohanim. So Mishnah Aleph says as follows: the Kohanim still in the Lishkas Agazis, Amar Lehem HaMamuna, the organizer of the day, could have been in the Skan Kohen Gadol, Baruch Hu Bracha Achas. He tells them the time has come to say one bracha. What bracha is that? Ahava Rabba, the bracha immediately prior to Kriyat Shema. Ve'en Baruch Hu, they said the bracha, Ahava Rabba, Karu Aseres HaDvarim, they said the Aseres HaDibros, and now it's the time for Kriyat Shema. So they say the three parshiyos of Kriyat Shema, Shema, Vayayim Shemo, and Vayomer. In addition to that, as they continued, they said together with the Am, the rest of the people there, three brachas. What were the three brachas? Emes v'yasiv, the bracha right after the Kriyat Shema, v'avoda. This is one of the brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. Retzei Hashem alakeinu b'mchayisov v'tfilasam. They chose that specifically, as the Bar Tanura explains, because this is the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept the Korban Tamid. This is not in place of their Shemoneh Esrei. They will be saying the Shemoneh Esrei later as well. And in addition, Ubirkas Kohanim, they said the Birkas Kohanim, but they didn't say it with the bracha. It wasn't the official Birkas Kohanim, that will be later. They're simply saying the psukim of the Birkas Kohanim. And in addition, on Shabbos, there was another bracha. B'Shabbos Mosifim Bracha Achas, the Mishmar Yotze for the Mishmar Yotze. Shabbos was the changing of the guard. Every week was a different Mishmar. There were 24 Mishmaros that would act to the avoda of the Kohanim and Levim on a weekly basis and then base of Mikdash. Effectively, each Mishmar would work in the Beis HaMikdash 2 weeks a year on a rotation basis. So we have the changing of the guard on Shabbos, and the Mishmar that's leaving and the Mishmar that's coming in, they would both work on Shabbos. And the bracha was given from those who were leaving to those who are coming, as the Bar Tanura explains, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was Shochen Ishchin and this Bayis, he should also Yashki Beinechem, he should also descend upon you and grant you the bracha of your having Ahava, Achva, and Reus together. The Kohanim should get along, have unity and peace as they do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Beis talks about the third lottery of the day, Amar Lehem. Now the Mamuda made the following announcement: this is going to be a special avoda. It's the Ketores. There's a bracha based on Psukim of a Kohen who does the Ketores. He will have Ashiris, he will have wealth. There was a huge demand by the Kohanim to do the Ketores. Accordingly, they only let new people do it. If you had it in the past, you were not able to participate in the lottery. Chadashim LaKetores Ba'ovafi. So anyone new who hasn't had the Ketores, come in and participate in the lottery. Hefisu Zacha Mishazacha. And they did the pious, they did the lottery, and whoever won, he merited to do the avoda of the Ketores. And now we're going to talk about the fourth lottery. We'll get back to the Ketores shortly. Chadashim Im Yeshanim Ba'ovafisu. The Mimuna made the following announcement for the fourth lottery. This isn't only for new people. Anyone who wants to participate, whether you've never done this before, you've done it before, that's Chadashim. If you're new to this, Im Yeshanim, if you're old to this, come and participate. Mi ma'ale eivarim in akevesh lamizbeach, which of the Kohanim are going to take those eivarim, the limbs and the other items that were left on the bottom of the kevesh of the ram, who's going to take it up to the top of the mizbeach and offer the various offerings on the mizbeach? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, hama'ale eivarim la kevesh umale osan al gabe mizbeach. He disagrees. He was of the view that this fourth lottery was not for this purpose. Anyone who put the limbs onto the bottom of the Mizbeah, or the Kevesh of the Mizbeah, the Ram of the Mizbeah, they're going to be the Kohanim to continue. So you don't need an additional lottery number four for them. Lottery number four was in fact for the Kohen who would take the coals from the Mizbeach outside and put those coals onto the Mizbeach HaZahav inside for the Ketores offering. We will get back to this point in a little bit. Mishnah Gimel says as follows: we have all of these Kohanim that woke up early in the morning, they got dressed in the Big Day Kahuna, they participated in the lotteries. Someone, and some did not win the lotteries, and those that did not win are not going to be involved in the avoda right now. Accordingly, they have to take off the big day kahuna. They can't wear the big day kahuna for their own personal purposes. If they're not involved in the avoda, it has to be taken off. Misarum lechazanim, they were handed over to the chazanim, the assistants who were in charge of the wardrobe in the Beis HaMikdash. Hayum afshitin osam es bigdeim, they would assist them taking off the clothing. They would take off three of the four garments that were worn. They would take off the hat, the belt, and the robe. The Kohanim would still wear their michnasayim, which were the big day kahuna, part of the big day kahuna. Those are the pants, the trousers, and they would put on their own clothing and only thereafter would remove the michnasayim from underneath. Misarun lechazanim, they were handed over to these assistants, helping out with the wardrobe. Hayum afshitin osam es big day, they would take off three of the four garments, as he mentioned. Velo hayum anichim aleim ela michnasayim bilvad, and they would leave on them only those trousers. Then, as mentioned, the Kohanim would put on their own robes, take off the trousers. The trousers would be tiakuna. And now all of the clothing that was not being used, they had a place to put it. And in the Beis HaMikdash, it was called the chalonos hayusham. Those the chalonos were the cubbies, or it was like a closet. Very interesting. As we mentioned, there were 24 mishmaros of Kohanim working on a weekly basis. And each of the Kohanim had to have four big day kahuna. So accordingly, what each mishmar, let's talk about one mishmar at a time, each of them had these four chalonos. Each one was for a different type of garment. So they had a mishmar had four cubbies, one for their hats, and one for their belts, and one for their robes, and one for their pants, the michnasayim, and times 24 mishmar, so with four of these cubbies or closets, times each mishmar had in 24 mishmars, there were 96 of these chalonos. According to the chalonos, ayasham v'kasuv aleim tashmish me'akelim, and it was written on each of them. They knew which mishmar it was, and it was also written what type of garment, and they would return their garments to their Mishnah Dalet. Mishazacha Bektores, now we're going back to the Kohen who won in lottery number 3. He won the ability to do the Ketores. Now the Ketores had to be carried, and it's interesting, we'll do it outside and then inside. He used to carry it in a smaller spoon called the Bazach. And the problem was, it was heaped up, that was covered to show his heap, we're not being stingy, but the problem was some of the Ketores would fall out, so he had that smaller spoon-like klisharis, in a larger ladle called the kaf, so anything that fell out would not fall on the floor, but it would fall into the larger ladle. So Misha Zacha B'Ketores, the coin that merited to win the lottery in lottery number 3 to do the Ketores, the incense, Haya Notel Es HaKaf, you would take the larger ladle, V'Akaf Domel Es Sarkav Gadol Shel Zahav, and that larger ladle was similar to a kli that was called the Tarkav, that was made of gold, Machsi Shlosha Kavim, and would hold up to it, would hold three kavim, a significant amount, a good amount of volume that could be held in that kaf. V'habazach, and that smaller spoon hayabasocha was inside the larger ladle, and it was maleva gadush ketores, it was full, and it was heaping over with the ketores, and that's why we needed the larger ladle, the kaf, in order for anything to fall out. When if it fell out of the spoon, the bazach, it would fall into the kaf. V'kisu ayalo, and also that kaf, that larger ladle had a covering on it. Ukamin mitutelis hayalo milamal, and also it had like a ring item that was used as a handle to take that cover off. Mishnehe, before the Kohen who won the Ketores brought it into the Heichal, there was another Kohen who would have the system. We need two Kohanim to be doing the Avoda. We had one Kohen, the primary Kohen, who won the Ketores. He would be carrying the Ketores, and he would do the Ketores offering. But we also need a Kohen to carry coal, because you need to burn the Ketores on the coal. The coal would start from the Mizbeach outside, and it would be brought where the Ketoret was burnt in the Mizbeach HaZahav. Now was inside the Heichal. Mishazaka b'machta, nata machta hakesef. So we're not talking about the Kohen who is doing the coal, assisting with the coal. He wasn't a participant in the lottery, according to the main Shita. Here we had the Shita before of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that this is why you had the fourth of the Paisim, the fourth of the lotteries, but the primary Shita of Chachamim is that he was not involved in any of the lotteries. He was simply chosen by the Kohen who won the lottery to do the Ketores, and he said, can you help me out? So Shemisha Zachar B'machta Nata Machta Sakes, if you would take initially a shovel made of silver, the Ala L'Rosh HaMizbech, he went to the top top of the Mizbech, he moved the coals that were on the top because he wanted to get the better, more developed coals on the bottom. He scooped up the best of the coals that he found with that silver shovel, yarad, and he came down the kevesh, down the ramp of the Mizbeach, and he poured it into a second kli sharis. This one is made of gold. You don't want to use the gold shovel because it gets ruined if you stick it indirectly into the coal, so we're going to use it, but not initially. We'll use the silver one, then pour it into the gold one. The silver one, interestingly, was larger. It held 4 kav of the coals, and the gold one only had 3 kav, so when you bring that silver one full of 4 kavs, pour it into the gold one, 1 kav of the coals is going to fall on the floor. So that's what happened. A kav of the gechalim fell on the floor, and in order for the kohanim to not burn their legs, burn their feet as they walk, he would sweep it into the Amma, which is the little stream that went through the base of Mikdash, so sweep it right into there. However, Shabbos, you can't do that because those coals are muksa. Accordingly, you need to cover them up so no one steps on them. On Shabbos, they would turn what's called the psachter, which is a pot on top of them, a very large pot, a huge pot. Psachter haisa kli gadol machzeket lesech. It was so big, it would hold the volume of a lesech. What is that? It's in excess of 50 gallons. It was huge. In fact, you needed 2 kohanim to carry it. And as we'll see shortly, there were 3 uses for the psachter. One of them was taking the ash off of the tapuach, which was in the middle of the mizbeach. As we mentioned before, the Trumas Hadeshen, the first avoda of the day, a little bit ash was taken off, but that didn't take all the ash, just a tiny bit doing the avoda of the Trumas Hadeshen. So what was necessary as they piled the rest of the ashes up onto the tapuach, in the middle of the Mizbeach, at a certain point, they had to remove that ashes, and they piled those ashes into this psachter, this massive pot. There were actually 2 chains attached, one on one side, one on the other side. Achashu Moshech Baviorad, one coin leading down the ramp, he was holding it, leading it in front, going down the ramp, and he was holding tight. And there was a second one that was holding it from the back on top, and he was holding it tight as well, so it would not roll down the ramp. As long as we're talking about that psachter, that huge pot, that actually had 3 different purposes in the base of Mikdash. Number one, kofi nosa gav agechalim. Number one, they overturned it on top of those gechalim, those charcoals, those coals, as we mentioned on Shabbos, because the coals couldn't be moved because of muksa, v'ala sheretz b'Shabbos. And also on Shabbos, if they found a sheretz, a dead rodent or the like, in the base of Mikdash, typically on a weekday, you have to remove tum immediately from there, but on Shabbos, you can't. It's muksa, so you put the psachter on top of it and remove it right after Shabbos. And the third use, as we just talked about now, is moridin ba'as hadesh and malgamay mizbeach. They would remove the ash from the mizbeach using that psachter as well. And now we're going into Mishnah Vav, continue to talk about the ketores, and we have those 2 kohanim. Kohen number one is carrying the ketores itself, and he had that small spoon inside the larger ladle. And we have the second kohen who is carrying the coals in the gold shovel, and he giyubein ulam mizbeach. Now have gotten to the area between the ulam that's inside is the bnei mizbeach hazav that they're going to do the ketores offering, but they're outside still. They're between the ulam and the mizbeach, the outer mizbeach. One of them took a kli that was in the base of Mikdash that looked like a shovel. That's why it's called a magrefa, but it was a musical instrument or a kind of a musical instrument. They would throw it at this point to make a huge bang because they wanted to alert various people inside and outside of the base of Mikdash of where they were standing in the avoda of the day. Accordingly, let's read it again. Higia bein ha'ulam lemizbeach. These 2 kohanim doing the ketores, they are now still outside between the ulam and lemizbeach. Natalecha that a magrefa. And one of them took this magrefa. And he would throw it at between the ulam and the mizbeach. He made a huge bang sound when it landed on the ground. And it was so loud that if somebody was speaking to his friend anywhere in Yerushalayim, talking about the Ir Atika, the old city, he would not be able to hear his friend speaking because of the large boom, the sonic boom that magrefa made when it impacted the ground. And there were actually 3 different purposes for making that big sonic boom. Number one is Kohen Sheshomeas Kola Yodea Sheachav Kohanim Nichnasin Lishtachos. So any Kohen who was not right there and he heard this big boom, he knew that his The other Kohanim that were working on the day were about to go into the Heichal, and they were going to be Mishtacha, they were going to bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside the Heichal, and that happened right after the incense was offered. So we're putting the Kohanim on alert for Hu Ratzuba, and he would run and come as well, entering into the Heichal so he could be Mishtacha as well. Number two is for the Levim. That was for the Kohanim. Now for the Levim, with Ben Levi, Shusho Meskola, when we had a Ben Levi that's supposed to be doing the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash on that day, and he hears the big bang, Yodea She'achav Alevim, Nichnasim Ledaber Bashir, he knew that his brethren, the Levim, were going in to begin singing. That would be done right after the wine libation was offered. He has to participate. V'hu Ratzuba, he would run and come as well. So even though he was out of the Chatzer, out of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, when he heard the Magrefa, that sonic boom, he would come running. He says, I got to be singing now. Then number three, V'rosh HaMa'amat HaYamamid at the Tmei B'Shar HaMizrach. And at that point also, the person in charge of the daily activity of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Rosh of the Ma'amad, he would put the Kohanim or Tmeim at the Shar HaMizrach on the eastern gate. Why would he do that? So there are three explanations brought by the Bar Chanua. Bring two of them. One is to embarrass them a little bit, because why aren't you doing the Avoda? You're Tameh. You need to be more careful and not to become Tameh. Accordingly, it was intended to embarrass them so they would be more careful in the future. Number two is because of Chashad. We would have people saying, this coin is supposed to be working in the Beis HaMikdash today, and I don't see him working today. What's happening here? He must have gone to his job. He wanted to earn money. He went elsewhere. Let's put those Kohanim or Tameim so people wouldn't be choshed them. They wouldn't be suspicious that they were ducking out of the Avoda. They'd see them there at the Shar HaMizrach at this point, and they would be put on notice that these Kohanim, they are Tameh for whatever reason. They touch the Sheretz and the like. Then accordingly, it's not that they're ducking out of doing the Avoda of the day, but simply that they are unable to do so because they are Tameim.